From the KISS 92.5 studios in Toronto, Canada.
Are you ready?
This is Roz and Mocha.
It's Roz and Mocha. What's going on?
Hey, guys, this is Bruno Mars.
This is Selena Gomez.
The Chainsmokers.
Lady Gaga.
Calvin Harris.
Celestia Carr.
This is Ed Sheeran.
You're listening to my boys, Roz and Mocha.
Roz and Mocha.
My boys, Roz and Mocha.
The Roz and Mocha Show.
Between Roz and Mocha, who is your favorite?
Roz.
Mocha.
Roz.
Thank
you, Mocha.
You guys are so funny, man.
Congratulations, Lisa! Wow!
You just won $1,000.
That is amazing. Y'all just made my entire morning. Keep it up.
You guys are awesome, man.
This is the Roz and Mocha Show podcast.
Love this podcast.
Mm-hmm.
Hey, Mocha.
Yeah.
You ready?
Yeah.
Let's do the news!
The Roz and Mocha Show podcast.
News break.
I'm not big on like...
happiness?
No.
Positivity.
Very, ding! I'm not big on like reboots and like just resurrecting old content, just for the sake of resurrecting old content. However, okay. I'm reading an article right now where they're referencing an interview that Jack Black did.
Okay.
Where Jack Black said that he is more than ready to reprise his role as Dewey Finn in School of Rock 2.
That movie was so funny.
So he says, I'd wish there'd be a School of Rock 2 Electric Boogaloo.
Amazing.
Just like Breaking, right?
Yeah,
good
amazing.
Good reference. But the problem is that Jack Black would only do it if Mike White came back, because Mike White played his roommate in the movie, and Mike White also wrote the movie.
Okay.
So he said, you know, Mike White wrote the first movie, and he's a genius, and we'd love to have Mike back in the saddle, but he's sort of busy right now with White Lotus, the best show on TV.
Oh.
So it doesn't look like
anything. But you know
anything.
What? If you put it out there, I'm sure fans would get behind it, then I think eventually we're going to get it.
Yeah.
Maybe after White Lotus... This new season is done.
Yeah.
Maybe him and...
I'm hoping.
Maybe Mike White and Jack Black could get together.
Yeah. I'm hoping.
I'd be their opening day.
That movie was... I still love
hysterical.
That movie.
Oh,
I still love
amazing.
That movie.
I love the idea.
The Roz and Mocha Show podcast.
Gwyneth Paltrow was not a fan of comic book movies, apparently.
Yo, but she was in like Marvel Cinematic Universe. Pepper Potts.
Yes.
What's up?
I don't know. I think she
Iron
thinks
Man,
that they've...
Like,
I don't,
love of his life.
I don't know. I think she thinks that like they've lost their cool, or there's too many of them, or I don't know. But here's Gwyneth Paltrow on Hot Ones.
If I look at the industry as a whole, this sort of big push into superhero movies, I mean, you can only make so many good ones that feel truly original, and and yet they're still, you know, always trying to reach as many people as possible, which sometimes hinders quality or specificity or real point of view. So I mean, you're absolutely right. I grew up doing those movies, and I sometimes lament the fact, like, I look back at some of the movies that I made in the 90s and think that just wouldn't get made now. I do think that you get more diversity of art when there's less at stake and people can sort of express their true voice and make a film the way they want to make it. And then I think those are generally the more resonant ones.
Yo, but you suited up in Iron Man 3.
Yeah. Yeah. But she was like an indie darling when she started out, right?
Yeah,
like
she
was a Miramax, you know, Great Expectations kind of, you know, indie film. What was that other one she did? What was the Shakespeare one that she did?
Oh.
Where she won the Academy?
Shakespeare
in Love. Yeah, mm-hmm. Yeah. She was like all those movies, right?
The Roz and Mocha Show podcast.
I got to play you this, man. This guy from Mississauga.
Well, go on.
We all know car theft is a big problem. They're telling us to leave the keys like basically in your mailbox with a note and a cookie.
Mm-hmm.
This guy has had his car stolen 4 times.
Bruh, they hate you out there in the streets.
Michael Aitken, listen to this.
We had bought a Range Rover, unbeknown that they were high-end vehicles getting stolen.
What? Unbeknown?
Bruh.
You didn't look at the price tag, Michael?
That vehicle was stolen from our driveway here. We had the regular tracking system in it that comes standard with the vehicle. They actually got away with that vehicle. We went back to the dealership and bought another one.
Hold on. So you get... Well, hold on a second before we continue. So this guy in Mississauga, right?
Don't blame him.
No,
don't blame him.
No, I'm not blaming him at all, right? But the ops got him on lock here.
Yeah.
So he buys a Range.
Yes.
Not knowing that Ranges are like luxury vehicles.
Apparently.
Okay. So.
Not his fault.
No.
Yeah.
Range gets took, right?
Yes.
And he's like, I need another vehicle. I'm going to get another Range.
Yes.
Same price tag, bro.
Yes. Insurance covered it all.
They advised us to get a tracking system, a tag tracking system. That vehicle was stolen again. recovered that vehicle.
Oh, good.
It got stolen again, and we recovered it again. Then they started stealing my Suburban. At one time, we found a GPS tracking system underneath the Suburban. They found it at the dealership. We do know that we were followed a few times as well with the Range Rover. The one time that it was stolen, it was 2:30 in the afternoon from the driveway.
Oh, no.
Wife came home from picking up one of my sons from school, went in the house for 5 minutes, came out to get the other son, and the car was gone.
Oh, my God.
Wait, was the son in the car?
No, I don't think so, no.
Okay, so that's scary. I mean, unfortunate.
But the crazy thing is that I guess these thieves are going around, and then when they see a car that they like, they put a tracker on it.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
And then they like wait for you to leave.
Because they're magnetic.
Yeah, and then they follow you, and they'll wait until maybe you're somewhere that's not too busy or whatever, and then they'll get your car then.
Bro, at that point, just go buy a used Ford Tempo.
Thank you.
Just put an air tag in your car. You can track it.
No, but they find that.
Now you could tape it somewhere under the seat.
Well, believe me, they go in. They know. They know where all that stuff is. They know your tricks. Four times. I had no idea they would want a Range Rover. Who wants a Range Rover? Yeah. Poor guy.
Guess what? It got took, so I bought me another Range.
The Roz and Mocha Show podcast.
Roz, I'm going to play something for you real quick. If you want to talk about it, just know I'm not the one that put this together.
Okay.
Damn it, Maury is responsible for this. So any and all conversation or questions will be directed to Dammit Maury.
Okay.
When we do the news every day at 6:40, 7:40, and 8:40.
Yeah.
Maury's put together like a compilation from various news breaks.
Okay.
Where you are making noises, various noises in between stories or while you're reading stories.
Okay.
And he asked me to play this for everybody's enjoyment. So if you have any questions or commentary, direct them at Dammit Maury. Okay, ready for this?
Yeah. Oh my God. Damn. I don't know. Where are we here? Oh, this is great. So,
That's so good.
That's pretty funny, though.
You guys are all jerks.
That's pretty funny, though, still, right?
Yes. Hey,
what was
Mocha.
Your favorite part? This part?
This is your mom's favorite part.
Oh, yo. That's pretty mean.
Wow. Yeah.
Oh, my God.
Wow.
Wow. Do y'all need a minute?
I can't with that
Shut
sound.
Up, Maury. I'd say that was Maury's mom's favorite part, but we don't know where to find her.
Oh! Damn, bro! Whoa!
You come for me.
Damn.
Hi, can you move my appointment up till now? Can I call you? Can I come now?
You guys saw how Tupac and Biggie ended, right?
Oh my God.
Maury on the phone with his shrink.
Fire. Real bad man.
I have a funny feeling that Maury's shrink is just like on the line all the time. Like, so all you have to do is just like actually physically just pick up your phone and put it to your ear.
Yeah.
Like he's just there.
Yeah, big time. Hey.
Yeah.
What now?
I love it.
The Roz and Mocha Show podcast.
Everybody happy for the teaser trailer for the new Beetlejuice?
Oh my God, yeah. So good.
I'm excited for it.
Right?
It gave me chills.
Yes, me too.
It was great.
And I didn't think I was going to get chills from...
Question.
Yes.
My only thing with Jenna Ortega being in this movie.
Right.
Right?
Sort of Wednesday-y.
Is it too much like Wednesday Addams? I know.
Is it too
much? It is that you've mentioned it.
Yeah. I think I love Jenna Ortega, same. But I think...
Does it fall into the same category?
Because that's a very similar character, right? I only wear black.
Uh-huh.
You know, like that kind of, I'm with you. I'm with you. But I'm still sort of here for it.
Yeah, of course. Of course. Same town.
Yeah. Daylight come and this is where the chills happen.
Same bridge.
Wrong.
Same house.
Wrong.
The juice is loose.
Same attic.
Yeah, it's real great.
Yeah, it's great.
I really love it.
The Roz and Mocha Show podcast.
Neil Patrick Harris is Uncoupled. So as we know, that show was canceled on Netflix. Did you watch that show, Maury?
Oh, it was so good.
So they canceled
like a gay rom-com.
They canceled it on Netflix, and then a year ago, Showtime picked it up, and they said we'll do the second season of Uncoupled. And now, according to Deadline, Showtime has now canceled it before they even aired it.
Is it that bad?
I mean, it's...
Or did they, like, test a few episodes?
No, because they did a whole season one. They just thought that season two was it's always about money, right? It's just, it's always about money. So, I don't know. I watched the first couple episodes. I wasn't into it at all.
I didn't think it was going to come back. Kind of like at the end of season one, it kind of wrapped up.
Did it really? Yeah.
Like, where are you going to go?
I didn't get that far.
The Roz and Mocha Show podcast.
It is always good to see Celine Dion out in the world. We know she's been dealing with—is it stiff man syndrome? Mm-hmm. Is that what they call it? Oh my god!
I've seen her a couple of times now.
And right? Yeah, and she
looking great, moving around, talking.
So good. And last night they brought her in to do the, in the dressing room at hockey games, they'll sometimes bring in celebs to talk to the players and read out the starting lineup.
Yeah.
So they had Celine do that. Now, this is why it's conflicting for people. So they had Celine go into the dressing room, and she looks awesome, and she's funny, and she just does it up right.
But?
Everybody's happy to see Celine.
Yeah.
But Celine didn't do this in, like, the Montreal Canadiens dressing room. Celine Dion did this in the Boston Bruins dressing room.
How dare you, Celine?
As a queen from Quebec, she did this in the Boston Bruins dressing room.
We're supposed to hate Boston. Everybody.
It's an honor and a pleasure to introduce Celine Dion, who's going to do starting lineup. She has her two sons with her.
Thank you so much. So, here we go. Thank you so much for getting ready for me tonight.
That guy had his shirt off, by the way.
No problem. All right. Up front. I know. Aww. I know you're gonna play. Here we go. Pav. Yeah. You make me hungry. Pasta. Hey. On defense. You better bite. Grizzy. My name starts with a C. And we're going to go for C-Mac.
Yeah! Oh, she sounds great, though.
And last but not least, in goal. You better bite, you better mean it, Bulldog.
And then they
use the opportunity to roast every single one of them.
And then she was up in the stands doing air bass to Bon Jovi. At one point during the game with her kids. She looks dynamite, and it's just so good to see Celine Dion out.
The Roz and Mocha Show podcast.
The funeral for former Prime Minister Brian Mulroney was over the weekend. It was beautiful. I didn't watch the whole thing. I saw a bunch of clips. They did it upright. Just like a massive, massive, beautiful ceremony. Carolyn Mulroney, his daughter, here's a little bit of the eulogy that she gave, which was incredible, talking about the last words from her dad.
On his last day, my dad called out to my mother from his hospital bed and said, "Mila, what have you got lined up for me today?" Mom leaned over his bed and said, "Darling, What would you like me to line up for you? Naughton, he replied, which was his funny way of saying the word nothing. Then I will line up Naughton, she said. Ever hopeful, Mum put her hands on his cheeks and said, O'Brien, are you coming back to me? His body was tired, but his heart would not let him give us up. So Dad looked at Mum, and with what were his final words to her, he said, I plan to. We are heartbroken by our loss. We adored him. I miss you, Daddy.
Oh, man.
It's a tough thing to be in those rooms because you don't want to be the first person to clap unless nobody else claps, right?
Yeah.
Like, do you clap out? You know what I mean? They did, and it was beautiful, and you should, you know, you should clap. But, man, you never want to be the first person in case you're only person.
Because that first person probably, like, looking around to see if anyone else is this appropriate? Prepared.
Like, I feel like when somebody says something beautiful and they're on a stage and, like, and when you're moved by it, your immediate reaction in that room is to applaud, right?
Yeah.
Wayne Gretzky was also there and said a little bit about Brian Mulroney.
We've had so many wonderful speakers. You're going to figure out who's in politics and which guy is the hockey player real quick. I'm playing in the Canada Cup. And those days, East and the West was a big rivalry. And that afternoon, his chief of staff called me. Game three, I was staying with my mom and dad, with my wife, Janet. And he said, the prime minister wants to call you. And I said, absolutely. So the phone rang, and I turned to my dad, and I said, you pick up the phone. So my dad picks up the phone. Now he's talking, and I'm like, okay. And he hands me the phone, and Prime Minister says, obviously, I'm wishing you good luck, son. I hope you guys do well. I hang up the phone, and my dad said, can you imagine the Prime Minister of Canada called me? And I said, I don't think he called you. He goes, no, I talked to him. So we had to wait 15 minutes because he had to call his mother and tell her that he talked to the Prime Minister. So that's how proud of a Canadian he was.
The Roz and Mocha Show podcast.
Last night at the 53rd annual Juno Awards, hip-hop pioneer legend Maestro Fresh West was inducted into the Canadian Music Hall of Fame. And Cardi did his intro. And so I want to play a little Cardi first, and then we'll get to what Maestro had to say.
Only once in many lifetimes do some have the opportunity to answer back when the Most High calls to share the gift which he has bestowed upon you. Heavy is the head that wears the crown, and heavy is the heart that reps the town. To the king go the spoils, but to the godfather goes the admiration, the thanks, the love, and the irrevocable gratitude of a nation. Generations of B-boys, from Malvern to Finch, North Preston to Vancouver, have witnessed the crown prince. While tropes of gold and laceless shoes were globally the norm, as a kid in Canada, I witnessed the infamous black tuxedo take the world by storm. An educated Guyanese Canadian with his conductors cool had every rap fan reciting his lyrics in every concert hall and in every school. This is a throwdown, a showdown. More than three decades in the game, and he still ain't slow down. He is our first rap hero, our rap prime minister. He made our backbone slide and brought joy to these eyes. For the man I'm about to bring out, I need everybody to rise. Canada, recognize when you're in the presence of the best. This year's Hall of Fame recipient, Maestro Fresh West.
Right?
Wow. That is how you do an introduction. Big up.
And then here is Maestro.
I wrote my first rhyme in 1979, and I never thought that in 1991 I'd receive the very first Juno Award for rap music. Wow, right? In that moment, I felt great. But at that same time, songwriting icon Leonard Cohen received his Hall of Fame award. And I was instantly humbled. Who would have thought in 2024 I'd be standing here on stage holding the exact same award, man. This is hip hop. Salute to St. John, New Brunswick. and a place called Scarborough.
Hey!
Hey!
Where we don't make records, we make history. Thank you.
Oh, man, that makes me so proud. Big up to you, Maestro. That is incredible. Incredible.
The Roz and Mocha Show podcast.
Children who displayed aggressive behavior at school, such as bullying or temper tantrums or outbursts, this is according to a new study, are likely to earn more in middle age. This according to a 5-decade-long study.
Doing what? Bullying their boss in a bank?
So they're also more likely to have higher job satisfaction and be in more desirable jobs. So the research team examined data from primary school teachers who assessed children's social and emotional skills when they were 10 years old in 1980 and then matched it to their lives at the age of 46 in 2016. And they say, quote, "We found that those children whose teachers felt had problems with attention, peer relationships, or emotional instability," these are the kids that would be bullied, "did end up earning less in the future as we expected, but we were surprised to find a strong link between aggressive behavior or bullying at school and higher earnings later in life."
Now y'all know why I talk to the boss the way I do.
The Roz and Mocha Show podcast.
Rebel Wilson has revealed who the Hollywood star is in her upcoming memoir, who she refers to as an a-hole, and dedicated almost an entire chapter, I think, to the guy. She writes in the book, she had released this a little while ago. She said, "When I first came to Hollywood, people were like, yeah, I have a no a-hole policy. That means like, I don't work with a-holes. And I was like, yeah, I mean, that sounds like a sensible and logical idea. But then it really sunk in what they were meaning by that, older people in the industry, because I worked with a massive a-hole. And yeah, now I definitely have a no a-hole policy." And she went on to say that since this was all sort of made public, that the a-hole in question had hired a lawyer and a high-priced PR crisis management team to prevent her from releasing the book. And she says, "I will not be bullied or silenced." And then she goes on to say who the a-hole was. And it was none other than...
Tom Cruise?
Sacha Baron Cohen.
Oh. What?
Yep.
Oh, wow. Borat?
Borat?
Yeah. You don't think that guy's always strikes me as a huge a-hole.
Really?
Oh, yeah.
A guy who dresses like he doesn't bore out?
Yeah,
really?
Yeah, because they did that terrible movie Grimsby together, I guess, in 2016. Not a lot of people did.
He's not very nice. No high fives.
The Roz and Mocha Show podcast.
Hey, did you watch Roadhouse over the weekend?
Yo, yes.
Yeah, you did?
Yeah. It was, okay. I like fighting and explosions. It had all of that. Yeah. Swearing, it had all of that. Yeah. I just found the movie was too long.
Too long?
Yeah.
It wasn't long at all.
I thought it could have been like 45 minutes shorter.
Yeah, that just wasn't much of a movie. I mean, I watched the original right afterwards, too.
Oh, did you?
Yeah.
Conor McGregor is a man.
I don't know.
Yo, did you watch it, Sean?
No, I was busy watching something else.
Did you watch it more? You didn't watch
I didn't know.
No, Maria, did you watch?
I was out this morning.
I don't know. There was
just
like,
zero plans.
But like I wanted, like there was that, like that little girl that owned the bookstore? Uh-huh. Like, did it not seem that like all her words were like put in afterwards? Like it didn't even look
That's
like she was talking.
That's what I was thinking.
It seems weird to me. Mm. Like there was just a lot of stuff in the movie that just seemed weird to me. I don't know.
That's why I said 45 minutes shorter.
Yeah,
they should have. I can make an edit of that movie.
Not enough. There wasn't Jake Gyllenhaal.
I mean, he's pretty much shirtless throughout the entire thing.
Oh, the entire movie was
see it more.
That's why I watch it.
I like Conor McGregor though.
Yeah.
The Roz and Mocha Show podcast.
Last night at the Juno Awards, Charlotte Cardin performed Confetti.
I feel like a zombie, I'll die at the party. Mm-hmm. Yeah, find my body fully covered in confetti. I tried calling somebody.
This was definitely her year, and she cleaned up over the weekend.
Covered in confetti, singing la da 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 da.
Ooh,
And then she went on to win Album of the Year for 99 Nights.
Making this album with my friends was one of the great joys of my life. And we made it at a moment where I desperately needed a creative outlet and a safe space to tell these stories and to share them. And so I want to dedicate this to my friends who made the album with me. And also, none of this would make any sense and wouldn't exist without my fans. So thank you so much for your support. I'm so grateful. Album of the Year, baby!
Ooh. Yes! Love it.
The Roz and Mocha Show podcast.
This is a wild story. Yellowstone star, Forey J. Smith.
He plays Lloyd, the old man.
Yeah, who got tuned up by...
Rip.
Oh,
man, that scene still sticks out in my head.
So...
when Rip is like, you want to fight someone? Fight me. And then beats the living hell out of Lloyd.
I guess in the past, he's had like a whole thing with like not being vaccinated and stuff. Like
he
didn't go to the Screen Actors Guild Awards a couple of years ago because they had to be vaccinated and boosted. And he didn't do any of that. And he got kicked off a plane for refusing to sit next to somebody wearing a face mask, right? Mm-hmm. But listen to this, and then he goes on live. He goes on Instagram Live starts talking about it. But here's the thing, okay? So before you hear what he says, okay, he hashtagged cowboy, hashtag country, hashtag Western, and then hashtag Yellowstone, hashtag Yellowstone TV. Oh. It's like the place he works.
Bro. Don't do that.
You know, my social media people tell me that you like me face to face. But you know what? I can't say face to face what I want. Like, I just got kicked off a plane in, where the hell am I at? Houston, Texas. Because I told them that I didn't feel comfortable sitting next to somebody with a mask on. Yeah, I've been drinking. I've been sitting in the airport for 3 hours. Yeah, I'm drinking. I ain't drunk. But they throw me off the plane because I'm drunk. Because you people won't stand up and tell everybody what this is. I just told them I didn't feel comfortable about sitting next to somebody that had to wear a mask. And I'm off the plane.
Hashtag Yellowstone, hashtag Yellowstone TV.
Also, you're drunk, Lloyd.
Right? I may be drunk.
Back to the barnhouse. Lloyd, go sleep it off.
Right?
Jimmy will come wake you up in 2 hours.
What are you doing, man? My people tell me I should do more live. Yeah, I've been drinking. Right? Maybe he's right, though. Maybe that's what the fans want. Because you got to figure that Yellowstone fans, like his hardcore fans... probably they love this, right?
Of course,
like,
they do.
Nobody's looking at him sideways for doing something like that. It's weird though that you won't sit beside somebody wearing a mask. That's interesting to me. That's a weird stand to take. Mm-hmm. Like, I can understand not getting on a plane if somebody's forcing him to wear a mask, right?
Sure.
That you take that stand. Sure, you believe in what you believe in.
But he was drunk and pissed.
But like, why be like, I'm not sitting next to the guy who wants to be safe?
Yeah.
Like, it's a super weird stand to take.
Rip is gonna kick your ass again, Lloyd.
The Roz and Mocha Show podcast.
So late Friday, Princess Kate, was it Friday that Princess Kate released that video or over the weekend?
Friday.
The world was like, yo, where is she? And then they had that whole disastrous Mother's Day photo with the edits, and the news agencies killed the photo, and it just seemed like they were covering something up, and then who knows who showed up at that farmer's market. But I guess they felt the pressure and had to sort of fix their mistakes. And Kate released a video statement talking about her abdominal surgery, but also her cancer diagnosis.
I wanted to take this opportunity to say thank you personally for all the wonderful messages of support and for your understanding whilst I've been recovering from surgery. It has been an incredibly tough couple of months for our entire family. In January, I underwent major abdominal surgery in London, and at the time, it was thought that my condition was non-cancerous. The surgery was successful. However, tests after the operation found cancer had been present. My medical team therefore advised that I should undergo a course of preventative chemotherapy, and I'm now in the early stages of that treatment.
I'll tell you the thing that was weird about that, and the palace did screw this up, the whole thing. They made a mess of it. And I know everybody can, you know, blame all the speculation and the jokes and everything else, but I mean, they didn't help matters. Did it not seem weird to you that she did that video and William wasn't with her?
Yeah, she was solo?
Yeah.
Mm. Unless maybe they wanted just the focus just to be on her.
I wouldn't have allowed it.
Right? I don't know. Who knows? Who knows
after all that?
What the conversations were.
After all the speculation and the jokes and everything else, like you're going to let her sit there alone with cancer?
Been, you know what? It could have been her to say. Like, who knows? We never know. We don't.
I don't know, man.
I will say I'm surprised that there wasn't a statement from him or a video from him after that video.
Yeah. Nothing.
Yeah, that's a little surprising.
Blake Lively is apologizing for the joke that she made about Princess Kate. So she, after the Photoshop fiasco with the Mother's Day picture, Blake Lively posted a picture promoting her new drink, I guess. And there's all sorts of mistakes in it.
Oh, no.
And Blake Lively said, I made a silly post around the Photoshop fail frenzy. And oh, man, that post has me mortified today. I'm sorry. Sending love and well wishes to all always.
The Roz and Mocha Show podcast.
There is a maple syrup shortage in this country right now, and it's serious. So Quebec's strategic reserve of maple syrup normally holds 133 million pounds of syrup. Mm-hmm. But this year, they only have 6.9 million pounds. The deputy general manager of Quebec's maple syrup producer says they are distributing millions of new taps across the province to ramp up production. Last year's warm winter conditions brought another short season, bringing in the lowest levels since 2008.
Yikes.
It's not good.
That means next year, same thing because of this winter.
Yep.
That we just had.
Yep.
The Roz and Mocha Show podcast.
That crazy race that finished up on Friday. It's the Barkley Marathon 100. Uh-huh. And on Friday, a small European woman was trending because there's this woman named Jasmine Paris who's tried to run this race three times. So the race has been going on since 1989, and it's an ultra marathon, which means it's through the backwoods forests of Tennessee. And this race was created by these two nut jobs who used to run. One guy named Laz Lake, and the other guy's name is Raw Dog.
Raw Dog?
And they created this insane race through the mountains and the forests, and you get cut up, and everybody's bleeding by the end of it. It's 100 miles. And you got to do, it's 20 miles a per loop. You have to do five of these stupid loops up through the forest and everything else. And it's designed for everybody to fail.
Yeah.
And then while you're doing it, you have to go and find books that they've hidden in the forest and then rip a page out of the book that corresponds with a number that they gave you at the beginning.
Like to prove that you were there.
And when you show up on race day, you don't know when the race is going to start. Mm-hmm. The weirdo blows a conch. And then once he blows that conch, everybody has 1 hour to get ready. And then when everybody's at the starting gate, you can't run until he lights a cigarette.
Oh my God.
And then he lights a cigarette, and so then everybody goes. But when you're running this race, the finishers experience a total of 120,000 feet of elevation change throughout the course, meaning that by the end of this race, the runners have run the equivalent of climbing and descending Mount Everest twice.
Woo!
And on Friday, Jasmine Paris was the only woman and only 20 people who have ever completed the race. Here's Jasmine.
I knew it was going to be tight from about 6 hours out from the finish, and I was really pushing. It wasn't until the last kilometer that I really sort of doubted that it was going to be possible. And at that point, I was just so desperate to stop and to stop running and to walk. And I knew that I couldn't because I wouldn't make it. So I just forced myself to keep running. And I think it was just the thought that if I didn't make it this time, it was going to be by seconds, and then I would have to come back and do the whole thing again, all those five loops, because I would never have let it rest. And I knew that I only had like a few minutes to get up that hill. So I ended up sprinting at the end of 60 hours of running through the forest, which felt really hard. I did it for me, and I'm super happy that I achieved what I set out to do after the 3 years of trying. But I'm also, you know, I'm really glad that I kind of did it for women worldwide as well, not just runners, but maybe, any woman that wants to take on a challenge and maybe doesn't have the confidence and the idea that I might have inspired them to believe in themselves and have a go.
And so it's a 60-hour cutoff, and she finished with 59 hours, 58 minutes, and 21 seconds.
Oh, my God. Wow. Congratulations.
And at the end of it, the crazy guy with the cigarettes, when the people collapse at the finish line, you remember from Staples, that gimmick button they had that when you pushed it, it went, that was easy.
Yeah.
Right? So the race, your race is not finished until he hands you that button when you're dead on the ground and you have to push it.
Oh, no.
And it just reads, just goes, that was easy.
And are your seconds counting too?
No, you have to touch an old rusted iron gate in order for your time to stop.
Bro, that's so wild.
The Roz and Mocha Show podcast.
Shohei Ohtani did his first press conference yesterday after this whole gambling situation with his interpreter. So it turned out that his interpreter, I guess, was stealing from him to pay off gambling debts. And these guys had been friends for a long time. And then at first he said, the interpreter said that Shohei gave him the money to be a nice guy and paid off his debts. And then he's like, the investigation happened. He's like, I don't know anything about this, because it really was like implicating him.
Yeah, the whole thing,
because gambling's, you can't gamble anyway when you're a professional athlete, but gambling's illegal in California. Sports gambling's illegal in California. And this was all going through like some bookie and everything else. So here is Shohei through his new interpreter, Will Ireton.
So I never bet on baseball or any other sports, or never have asked somebody to do it on my behalf. And I have never went through a bookmaker to bet on sports. Just to kind of just go over the result, in conclusion, Ipe has been stealing money from my account and has told lies. So up until that team meeting, I didn't know that Ipe had a gambling addiction and was in debt. And I never agreed to pay off the debt or, you know, make payments to the bookmaker. And finally, when we went back to the hotel and talked one-to-one, that was when I found out that he had a massive debt. And it was revealed to me during that meeting that Ipe admitted that he was sending money using my account to the bookmaker.
And you could bet on that, Jack.
And the NBA is investigating Toronto Raptors' Jonte Porter for prop betting irregularities.
Yeah, I know. Chev's all over this story.
Porter wasn't with the team against Brooklyn on Monday, and he's been on the team's inactive list for personal reasons. Uh-huh. Here is Raptors head coach.
He's been being investigated by the league for a gambling issue. Is there anything you know about that?
Come on, Darko.
So when did you become aware of it?
Became aware of that today, pretty much like anybody else, and caught me off the guard. But at this point, I really don't have any comment on that.
The two games that he pulled himself out of, one was an eye injury and the other was illness. What? Did anything seem unusual
about why he wasn't with the team?
Oh.
No, because for my perspective as a coach of the team, I never doubt injuries. I never doubt, you know, honesty from players. Obviously, I never had a situation like this before, and, you know, so I did not.
Sham?
This is going to be bad for the NBA. I mean, the NBA all the other sports leagues have had this, NFL, MLB, NHL, the NBA's turn. This is ugly. This is going to get bad. There's going to be other players.
Because the last time something like this happened was... like forever ago with the referee, Tim Donaghy.
Tim Donaghy.
Right? Yeah. That was like the biggest gambling scandal the NBA had ever seen, at least I think.
Well, Michael Jordan.
Oh, that too. Before Tim Donaghy, it was Michael Jordan. That's right.
I guess
it's their time now. Every few years,
it's tough.
Someone's got
to
do it.
Yeah, I know. So what does that mean? Like when it comes to prop bets, like, so was he betting on, like, was he manipulating the game?
So what's crazy,
what the accusation is?
So what's crazy is that reading into the story, he was betting the under on his own, like, stats.
Oh, is that what
allegedly,
the accusation
allegedly,
is?
Allegedly, of course. Yeah, during a certain period of time. And specifically during a couple of games, he, like, left the game due to injury and was like, he's probably had like 2 points in some games. Yeah.
Don't pass to me, guys.
Yeah, because you never want to bet the over on yourself. No, right? That's too much work.
Way too much pressure.
Right? You always bet the under on yourself.
Yeah. Not me. Him. No. Over there. Pass over there. Quick. Ow, my ankle.
The Roz and Mocha Show podcast.
Gardner's a mess in Toronto right now.
Oh my God.
Even in the middle of the night, I drove by and it's just such a disaster. It's just awful.
How many years this is going on?
Until 2027, apparently, which I think is completely unreasonable.
They're giving us the long weekend with no construction.
Yeah, they're going to open it up for like super heavy times. Great, thanks. But this is just unreasonable. And I can't understand for the life of me how the people in this city are going to just stand by and take this when somebody says it's going to take until 2027 to finish. Like, it is just, it cannot be that way. Like, it just, there has to be another way. When you see what they can do in Japan, when a road collapses or like a highway or build a bridge or whatever, it's done in months.
Bro.
Days.
Yeah.
Days.
Without anyone even knowing.
Right. Figure it out and do it. 3 years. And they're not working 24 hours a day, by the way.
Which they should be, I think.
Thank you.
In a city as big as Toronto and the amount of people that use the Gardner.
When we come into work, I drove by literally in the middle of the night, right? Coming in here, I drove by it and you were down to like 40 kilometers.
Mm-hmm. How many people working? Like, how many crew?
I saw zero people.
Oh.
Zero
people. But they said
people.
You're not going to see them. They're going to be under the bridge.
Half of that is ground level.
Mm-hmm.
Dufferin's ground level. There's grass on either side. It's only where it goes up. But that's where the on-ramp is closed. That's where everything screws up. I saw nobody. I saw no people. I saw no lights. I saw no pickups. I saw no guy with a sign. I saw no people.
No jackhammer.
Nothing. I heard nothing. I was like listening. Nothing. I heard nothing.
Yeah, they should be working 24 hours.
Oh, just wait till the CNE happens.
Oh, no.
Wait till the Indy happens.
Oh no.
Wait till Carabana happens.
Oh no, you're right.
Bro.
All that stuff.
All of it.
All in the midst of TFC games,
yes.
Too.
And the TFC.
Yes.
Because there's always a TFC game the same weekends as CNE.
Yes.
But that's already a mess.
You just wait.
No.
Yeah.
They're going to have to figure it out.
Yep.
Damn.
The Roz and Mocha Show podcast.
Down in Baltimore, a giant portion of the Francis Scott Key Bridge, which is this huge bridge in Baltimore, collapsed after a cargo boat collided with it. It happened at like 3 o'clock this morning. And
the footage is scary,
it's
man.
It's crazy.
Holy.
And it's being reported that because there were cars on the bridge that then fell into the water. And then that boat itself caught fire and sank. Here is Kevin Cartwright from the Baltimore Fire Department.
We have a mass casualty multi-agency rescue incident currently underway. We have dive team members actively going into the Patapsco River to try and locate these individuals that are believed to be in the water.
Wow. That's crazy.
The Roz and Mocha Show podcast.
The door from Titanic that saved Rose's life just went up for auction. And sold for $718,000 at the Heritage Auction Treasures from Planet Hollywood, beating out other iconic pieces of memorabilia that were up for auction. Indiana Jones's bullwhip from Temple of Doom, mm-hmm. Jack Nicholson's axe from The Shining. Bill Murray's bowling ball from Kingpin went for $350,000.
Wow.
Nicholson's axe went for $125,000. Tobey Maguire's black symbiote suit from Spider-Man 3 went for $125,000.
Turned into Venom? Yeah.
Yeah, yeah. So a lot of... I always wonder, like, who owns those things where they can just turn around and sell them?
Usually like, it goes to, like, restaurants or, like, you know...
No, but who owns them?
Oh, originally?
To like sell them.
Wouldn't it just
like,
be the
The studio?
Yeah.
Like, is that who is... I guess, maybe?
They'd have to.
But, like, why is James Cameron then selling... The door, like that's like
no, it's always. It could be the
prop. You don't need the reminder.
He
did Jack so dirty. There's enough room on that door for two.
Yeah.
You think he wants that constant reminder? After all these years, he walks into his house, he sees that door. He's like, you know what? Yes, there is room for two.
The Roz and Mocha Show podcast.
This Diddy story is wild. Damn, and
that's all that's trending still.
And it's like to get it to this level where they've built a federal case. Mm-hmm. Where it was Homeland Security that raided his Miami and his L.A. homes, and his two sons were in his L.A. home. Diddy spends apparently most of his time in Miami. And then he was seen, I guess TMZ was reported that he was seen at the Miami airport. There were other reports that his jet had flown to the Caribbean. But here's a little bit of the initial news story when Department of Homeland Security were raiding Diddy's place in California.
Breaking news right now. We're following the Department of Homeland Security conducting a raid at a house in Holmby Field Hills, believed to be connected to Sean Combs, the rapper and music executive, perhaps being linked to a sex trafficking investigation.
He got some shots of a few people coming out of the home. Those people have been detained. Now, we're trying to still connect the dots. We do have some sources on scene here that we're getting this information from. We were actually the first ones here with about 30 different law enforcement vehicles at least. There are three Bearcats on scene
The sons were handcuffed. Doesn't necessarily mean that they're, like, nobody was arrested. They just handcuff anybody in the house, put them on the lawn, and apparently they're still looking at the place. A whole bunch of lawsuits that came out in the last 6 months, and Diddy settled a few of them, but the sort of big one that's really hit now is this lawsuit from a producer named Rodney Jones, or Lil Rod as he's called, because his lawsuit originally, it was reported that Diddy settled that. Mm-hmm. And then it was reported that there was no settlement. And this was the sort of open investigation, because this lawsuit goes through a lot of stuff. Like, he talks about, like, murder, talks about how he was asked to clean up after a shooting, talks about how J-Lo was the one that brought the gun into a club and then gave the gun to Diddy. Prince Harry is named in the lawsuit. Not that anything bad, involved in anything, but this is, they say this guy who knew Diddy, who was in his life for a very short period of time, talks about how every room in that house was filmed to record, and how Diddy did business was much like the allegations against Jeffrey Epstein, was that people would come into the house, they would engage in all sorts of Diddy-like things because his parties were legendary,
sure,
and then everything was on camera. Those are the sort of allegations in this suit.
But the feds would not go to the extent that they went yesterday if they didn't have some sort of piece of evidence that they need to tie back to that home.
Oh, no. This is like, because this isn't the situation where, like, you get a call and then cops just go and check it, right?
No,
like,
I know.
This went to a judge, where a judge looked at all the evidence, and because this was filed in New York and then became a federal case, right? Which means that more states were involved. So a judge looked at this and said, yes, this is a federal case.
That's bad news, man.
And it's not local individuals who are doing this. It's the Department of Homeland Security that are taking care of these raids.
He's done. Yeah.
So, yeah. Here is one of Diddy's neighbors.
Oh, no.
Talk about your experiences here and what you've seen in front of Diddy's house before.
I've seen black Suburbans, Uber drivers, private drivers between the times around 1 to 3 a.m. Sometimes it's late, little bit later and early in the morning. It carries over, but I've seen girls get out of the car, swimsuits, swimwear, bathing suit sometimes after the club. They could have been at the club, I thought, maybe coming to after party or whatever. I never thought anything of it, but now obviously since allegations are happening that Diddy was doing this trafficking thing, now I know what was happening at the house.
Have you yourself seen Diddy with these girls?
I've never seen Diddy. I've seen other men outside. I've seen a lot of probably 8 to 10 girls outside before, but never actually him.
Damn.
And 50 Cent took to Instagram to say, Ish just got real. The feds in all the cribs. They got the kids in cuffs. Now it's not Diddy do it, it's Diddy done. They don't come at you like this unless they got a case. So that was 50 Cent taken.
Yeah, 50 was going crazy on IG yesterday.
Bro.
He's sticking his nose in everybody's business.
Well, he's always had his nose in Diddy's business, right?
No, but everyone, every time something happens, you can always bank on the fact that 50 Cent has something to say about it.
Always, always, always.
The Roz and Mocha Show podcast.
Scarlett Johansson is apparently the star now who is linked to this new Jurassic Park movie.
What?
And as far as I know, they haven't even started filming it yet, and they haven't even confirmed Scarlett Johansson. They had one director, David Leitch, who did Fall Guy, Bullet Train, and Deadpool, and then he left, and now Gareth Edwards, who did Rogue One, is now attached to it.
Oh.
They have a July 2025 release date.
Okay. 1 year from this coming July?
There's yes.
no way.
Right?
Unless you start filming like today.
Yes. Yes. So that's the release date, July 2025.
No.
For this, I can't side on well, me.
Who knows? Scarlett Johansson and who
she's,
else?
Just, but she's not even confirmed. She's apparently in talks to be the lead because all the other ones are gone, right? Mm. Like they're rebooting. So it's no longer
That's the thing I don't understand.
Okay.
They already rebooted.
Right. But they rebooted. They're going to reboot again. This is the phase three, I guess, right? Isn't it? Phase three?
Really guess. Yeah. I guess they did it with Spider-Man enough times.
Yeah. And everybody was fine with that, right? But it was still Spider-Man, still the same story, though, right?
Yeah. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah.
You're not, is this going to be the same? Like from the beginning again?
I don't know.
It's the origin story.
But do we need the origin story again?
But the origin story of Jurassic Park? But that happened in the first one with the old man with the,
yeah,
like the mosquito and the thing.
Yeah. Like, are we redoing that? No. They have to come where Jurassic Park's already in existence.
But they did that with Chris Pratt.
I know. I don't know, dude.
Why don't you write them a letter?
I don't know. I don't know. I don't know.
This is the second time you brought this up and I get fired up. I don't know why, guys. I've seen those movies once.
It's interesting.
Right?
It's not even like they're your favorite movies.
Not at all. I couldn't tell you a quote from any of them.
Nothing.
Nothing.
We're going to need a bigger boat.
That means nothing.
That's Jaws.
I know, Maury. Thanks.
Way to ruin the show.
The Roz and Mocha Show podcast. Podcast.
Pictures of Timothy Chalamet have been popping up all over New York because he is currently filming the Bob Dylan biopic called A Complete Unknown. It takes place in 1965 before Bob Dylan jumped from folk into rock and roll. He really looks like Bob Dylan, too.
Yeah.
See, there's
yeah.
video, too. Yeah. It's incredible.
And now Jeremy Allen White is in talks to be playing Bruce Springsteen in an upcoming biopic about Bruce's 1982 album called Nebraska, which I guess the story, it was based on a book about the album, because this was something I think that Springsteen just like recorded in his bedroom on a 4-track. And then like a year later, the band got back together and they released Born in the USA, which was like
monster.
A monster. Uh-huh. So this is the tiny album before the whatever. But it's so crazy because like you look at Timothy Chalamet and when he's dressed up like Bob Dylan, I mean, he looks exactly like Bob Dylan. And with Jeremy Allen White, I never thought that Jeremy Allen White looked like Bruce Springsteen until they put Jeremy Allen White beside a picture of Bruce Springsteen. And I'm like, they look identical.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Right. So, right. So we may get both of those. Or we are getting the Bob Dylan one, but we may get Jeremy Allen White as Bruce Springsteen, which would be kind of cool.
I just want season three of The Bear. Hurry up.
I know. Well, you're going to get
it. Season three and four.
Yeah.
Here we go.
The Roz and Mocha Show.
Podcast.
A high-speed train that could connect Toronto to Montreal and then going on to Quebec City could be inching closer to reality, they say. The CEO of Via Rail's high-frequency rail project says that he hopes to have trains running along electrified tracks going 200 kilometers an hour or even faster by the mid-2030s.
Oh. Okay.
That would make a trip from Toronto to Montreal.
What can they say next year?
I know. That would make a trip from Montreal 3.5 hours compared to the normal 6-hour train ride. To me, that doesn't sound fast enough.
Yeah, fast is like hour and a half.
Right? So I guess the federal government is going to make a decision by the end of the year. Back in 2021, when they had first started talking about this, when people were bidding on the contracts, they had said at the time in 2021 that this was going to be a $12 billion project.
Billion?
Yeah.
You'll get me there in an hour and a half then.
Thank you. And also, you know, when this is done, after $12 billion, and then $12 billion is going to balloon to $22 billion, And then
it's also going to be delay on delay on delay.
And then you know what the tickets are going to be to get you from Toronto to Montreal
in three hours?
It's going to be ridiculously expensive.
It's already expensive.
Right? It's not going to be for vacationers. It's going to be an attraction where you want to take the fast train.
Yeah, yeah.
Right? Like it's not going to be for convenience. Those tickets are going to be so grossly expensive. And then there's going to be problems. Like, It's a whole thing.
There's always delays too.
I know, but I'm 3 hours is not fast enough. Like, what would you say? What would you say?
In order, hour and a half.
Hour and a half.
Yes.
Right.
Hour and a half.
Because how long is the flight? If you fly from
45 minutes.
45 minutes. Uh-huh. Right. But like, let's say gate to gate. Like, let's say you walk into Porter.
Hour and a half.
Into Porter and then
hour
out,
and a half,
out
two
at
hours?
The other end. Maybe. Right.
Yeah.
Yeah. They gotta. That's what you gotta do.
You gotta
do.
Beat air traffic.
Yes. I mean, that is a very an unfair challenge, just to say that a train has to beat a plane. But I think that's where we are when we're talking about $12 billion. Right?
Yeah.
Don't say high speed. Say faster train.
You know what? Great point, Maria.
You know?
Great
point. But is 200 kilometers not high speed enough for you?
Nah.
No.
No. Not to get from T-Dot to Montreal.
No.
Uh-uh.
Not fast enough.
No, I agree with Maria. I think they say a faster train.
Yeah.
Well, okay.
Right?
Okay. All right. Claws
like,
out.
Hold little, on.
Oh, okay. Wait. Yeah. Like, yeah. Okay.
If my Honda Pilot can reach up to 200
yes.
on highway, right?
So it needs to go faster than your Honda Pilot.
Definitely.
I agree yes. with you on that.
Right?
I agree with you on that.
You can't say, what are they calling it? A bullet train or whatever?
High speed.
High speed.
High speed.
You can't say high speed
no.
if it reaches the same kilometers as a car that could drive on the highway.
Yep.
Right.
So it's a faster train.
First it's a faster
of all,
train.
Your car should not be doing 200 kilometers on the highway.
Yo, Pilot Nation, don't, okay. don't mess it. You know what kind of business we got going on?
Where do you need to get to in the Pilot so fast?
Montreal.
Here we go.
The Roz and Mocha Show.
Podcast.
Lady Gaga just gave the sort of most substantial update on her seventh album. Is that what this is, Maury?
Yeah,
well,
your seven.
Seventh album. Jesus. Here she is. Talking to a YouTuber and makeup artist, Nikki Tutorials. Listen to this.
I'm working as fast as I can, but I will say that I'm feeling deeply inspired right now, and I'm so excited for everything that I have to show all the fans, and I'm deeply grateful for everybody's excitement and my creativity.
Okay. I don't know. When was her last album, Maury?
Was it like 4 or 5 years ago?
Not fast enough.
No.
Right?
I agree.
Just
like I'm Honda Pilot would be
like
faster.
I'm glad she's working on new music, but
she says she's going as fast as she can.
I'm not.
No, it's not fast.
It's whatever.
Not fast enough.
I'm
eh?
Not excited.
No? Okay. How fast should it be?
Hour and a half.
Like the time from when she released her last album, it should have been no more than a year and a half.
Right.
We're almost going to be too okay. old but for new did, Lady Gaga.
I think a lot of people.
Speak for yourself, yeah.
Oh.
Here we go.
The Roz and Mocha Show.
Podcast.
Mount Everest has a crap situation.
Excuse me.
And Nepal has the answer. According to CNN, the bodily waste issue has gotten so concerning that the country now mandates that climbers scaling the world's tallest mountain must return their excrement upon their descent. To tackle the pollution, climbers will be given a pair of bags that can be used up to 6 times each, both containing a substance that solidifies the waste and makes it odorless.
Okay, but you still have to open that bag again and use it again, right?
Yeah, every single time. And you got to carry it with
six
you.
6 times each,
or I guess
said?
Maybe like you leave it somewhere and then have to remember on your way back down the mountain,
but it,
collect your bag.
No, you got to carry it with you.
Oh, but yeah, because then how are you going
to use it again?
Because you're going
to
have to
use it again. Does it work like a dog bag where you put your hand in and pull it through, or does it come with like a little shovel?
No. You would have to use it.
It
would have to go in it.
Yeah.
Because they don't want it on the mountain.
Mm-hmm.
Right? And then you put it in the bag and the solvent gets it, and then you roll the bag up and you put it in your backpack.
Mm-hmm.
And then when you got to go again, you got to unroll that bag splashing around in there.
Boom.
You fall down and everything else.
Land on it.
Right?
Yeah.
Land on it. Right? You got to open it back up again. Go.
So disgusted right
go
now.
Go again in the same bag and do that another 4 times before the bag is full.
Mm.
Right? Then you got a full two. Like, how many times are you really going to go number two when you're climbing Everest, though? That's just about the last thing I would do. Yeah. You're not eating much.
Go before you climb.
Like, you're
not. You know how many days it takes, bro?
I know, but like, how many times are you going number two climbing up a mountain? I guess maybe altitude gets to you and you got to like, your stomach starts going crazy and all this other. Yeah, maybe.
It's got to be at least minimum 6 times if they're giving you a bag that can hold poop.
Because
up to six
Because people were just, before, just going in the snow and just kicking it over with their boot, right?
Yeah.
They need to come up with something that you take that makes you not go.
Leaving it there. Well, that's not healthy either, though.
No, you need
nobody
to
wants
eat
that.
And drink.
Constipated.
Yeah. You can't climb. That's the one thing you don't want to do when you're climbing is you can't get constipated and get all cramped up and everything like that, right?
About putting porta potties out there?
On what? The side of a mountain?
I'm sure there's flat parts.
And then whose job is it going to be to empty that?
I don't know.
How are you going to get a truck there?
Who's carrying that back down the mountain?
I'm sure you can.
How big is that bag?
Maria, it's a
get
mountain.
Get a hose ringing down the mountain.
You know how long that hose has to be? Oh my God, Maria, I swear to God.
Listen, if there was a hose that went all the way up, I would just crap in the hose.
A vacuum.
Here we go.
The Roz and Mocha Show.
Podcast.
Did you see the trailer for Bad Boys 4 yesterday?
Yo, did I?
Looks good, huh?
Come on, Mike, slow down. We are late. My stomach, Mike. I need a ginger ale.
Get a ginger ale and nothing else.
Are those dogs fresh?
Put them in yesterday.
Give me one. Put some relish on that.
So good.
Stay right there.
Mm-mm. Is that Skittles on the counter, Marcus?
This ain't mine, Mike.
Yes, it is.
Marcus, get in the car.
He has a gun to my head.
Want to deal with him? You want to deal with me?
Sorry, sir, but I gotta go.
Call 911.
Aren't you the police?
So good.
It looks great.
Yeah. They're so good together.
I've watched so many crap movies lately that I saw this trailer and I was like actually kind of excited about it because it looks like what these movies are supposed to look like.
Sure.
Right? I still can't get Roadhouse out of my head.
Why? Like someone that you loved it so much?
Oh, no, just how terrible it was.
Oh.
And how bad Conor McGregor was.
Well, y'all like Conor McGregor.
Oh, what did you? Movie. Oh, he's so just terrible.
I know, and I just love
terrible.
That
terrible.
That just his attitude and like he's just such an a-hole.
Ugh. Did you watch the after credit scene?
No, I didn't know.
I didn't, but I
had no idea. Go ahead. Spoiler alert. What happened?
It's a scene of a hospital hallway, and then there's a ruckus on the other side of these doors. People screaming. And then Conor McGregor busts through the doors in a hospital robe. And then the camera shoots him from behind as he walks out of the hospital with his ass showing from the back of the robe.
Yeah. Roadhouse 2. Let's go.
We started watching that Madam Web movie last night.
Now, that's a trash movie, I heard.
And it was so bad.
How bad was it?
You had to endure it as opposed to watch it. And
how quickly into the movie did you realize?
Instantly. But I thought that we could get through it. There was really nothing else going on. And then I think Roxy, like we were like a good hour 10 into it. And she was like, I can't. Like, kind of like you're not even going to finish it after an hour 10.
Yeah.
She's like, no, I just can't. And I'm like, okay, cool. Whatever.
You turn it off.
Yeah. So yeah, that wasn't good.
Here we go.
The Roz and Mocha Show
podcast.
Apparently they're bringing the Star Wars blue milk to stores.
Okay.
Are you interested in that at all?
The lactose-free option available?
Oh, that I don't know. I don't know if blue milk comes in lactose-free.
I can't enjoy.
So you can't, huh?
No. I wouldn't be able to partake.
Really?
Uh-huh.
You're not even for like a little sip on Star Wars Day or anything
maybe like
that?
Like a sip, like a shot glass.
Yeah, but right? You're not going...
I'm not doing full glass.
You're not, huh?
I can't.
That's incredible.
What if you just make your own?
Yeah, you can just make your own.
But then you don't get the collector container.
Thank you. What does a container look like, Maury?
It looks like a jug of milk.
Oh, but is it...
It says, like, the label says, like, as the Star Wars logo and stuff.
Oh, I got you. Okay, cool.
Nah.
Just get a Star Wars sticker put on a regular card.
You're not interested, huh?
No.
Here we go.
The Roz and Mocha Show.
Podcast.
So here we go with Diddy's statement through his lawyer. He says, yesterday there was a gross overuse of military-level force as search warrants were executed at Mr. Coombs' residences. There is no excuse for the excessive show of force and hostility exhibited by authorities or the way his children and employees were treated. Mr. Coombs was never detained but spoke to and cooperated with authorities despite media speculation. Neither Mr. Coombs nor any of his family members have been arrested, nor has their ability to travel been restricted. restricted in any way. They go on to say this unprecedented ambush paired with an advanced coordinated media presence leads to a premature rush to judgment of Mr. Coombs and is nothing more. Oh, here it is. There we go. Is nothing more than a witch hunt. I knew it was going to be in there somewhere. Yeah. Based on meritless accusations made in civil lawsuits, there has been no finding of criminal or civil liability with any of these allegations. Mr. Coombs is innocent and will continue to fight every single day to clear his name. 50 Cent out here again. So he's got 50's always in people's business, right? Mm-hmm. And 50 posted the cover art, the poster for the Puff Daddy documentary that he's been working on called Did He Do It? So he posted that picture and just simply wrote, this is going to break records when this drop. And then a representative for 50 and G-Unit Film and TV confirmed that they have actually been working on this documentary since December. They say, I can confirm that the untitled Diddy documentary, which is now called Did He Do It, is in development through G-Unit Film and Television, with Curtis 50 Cent Jackson serving as executive producer. Proceeds from this documentary that G-Unit Film and Television receives will go to victims of sexual assault and rape.
The Roz and Mocha Show podcast.
Donald Trump, after selling copies of his own mugshot, NFT cards, Sharpies, cologne.
Don't forget the sneakers.
Pairs of those shiny gold Free America high tops. Mm-hmm. Donald is now selling $60 Bibles. Here's Donald Trump.
This Bible is the King James Version and also includes our founding father documents. Yes, the Constitution. Which I'm fighting for every single day, very hard, to keep Americans protected. Also, the Bill of Rights, the Declaration of Independence, and the Pledge of Allegiance are all part of this. I think you all should get a copy of God Bless the USA Bible now and help spread our Christian values with others. There you have it. Let's make America pray again. God bless you. And God bless the USA Bible. And it's just very important and very important to me.
Do you remember
Let America pray again?
I know, the God Bless the USA Bible. But don't you remember when he was doing that interview? Maurice, see if you can find me this clip real quick. When they asked Trump what his favorite passage from the Bible was, and he couldn't name one. Like, he's not a Bible guy.
No.
Like, Donald Trump is not a church guy.
It's like all of them.
Right?
I have so many, I can't pick a favorite.
That's what he basically said. Oh, no, I think he said that it was private. That's private between me and my Bible.
What's your favorite? Austin 316, that's what it is.
By the way, they're calling the God Bless the USA Bible the only Bible endorsed by President Trump.
So no other Bibles matter?
No.
It's damn, bro, what a diss.
No, because this one has the Declaration of Independence.
But what about like the OG? It's been around.
So they call it easy to read with large print and a slim design that invites you to explore God's words anywhere, anytime.
Isn't that all Bibles, though?
Yeah. What is, you have it, Maureen?
Okay. You mentioned the Bible. You've been talking about how it's your favorite book. And you said, I think last night in Iowa, some people are surprised that you say that. I'm wondering what one or two of your most favorite Bible verses are.
Well, and why. I wouldn't want to get into it because to me that's very personal. You know, when I talk about the Bible, it's very personal. So I don't want to get into
There's no verse that means a lot to you that you think about or cite.
The Bible means a lot to me, but I don't want to get into specifics.
Okay, thanks. That's how you dodge a bullet.
Oh, yo, my God.
This man is on next level.
It's what you owe a lot of money. You got to come up with some wild ideas, huh?
Yeah, so what's next?
I don't know.
The Roz and Mocha Show podcast.
Rap fans are divided over a video that went crazy on social with Drake and Lil Wayne on stage in Florida. And during the performance, there was a teleprompter on stage. Mm-hmm. And it's divided a lot of fans saying that you shouldn't use teleprompters and it's cheating.
But people, a lot of performers do.
People calling it, though, isn't it?
People calling it karaoke. And then somebody else chimed in and said, listen, Wayne's got a song called 10,000 Bards, which has 7,000 words. If he needs a teleprompter, that is more than okay. Yeah, everybody uses a teleprompter on stage.
Any concert that you go to.
They all
doesn't matter the genre.
No, yeah. Everybody uses a teleprompter.
Beyonce uses one. Jay-Z uses one.
Yes, and they have.
Shouldn't they know their own songs though?
I mean, when you you start getting these careers where you have, you know, 30 albums and especially with rap, with the amount of words.
Yeah. Upon thousands of songs for somebody like Lil Wayne.
Yeah. Yeah. Like I watched a video where somebody was quoting a Lil Wayne song to him, and he was like, Lil Wayne was listening to these words and he was really like taken aback by it. Mm-hmm. And he was like super into it. And then he asked a follow-up question and the guy was like, you wrote that. And he's like, I wrote that. And he's like, yes, you wrote that.
Don't you guys remember?
He was shocked.
There was like a conversation between Wayne and Eminem where they were talking about the writing process. And Lil Wayne said he sometimes has to go, like he'll come up with like lyrics, but then he goes and he Googles his own lyrics, like his own songs, to make sure he didn't say what he just came up with in a previous song.
Yeah.
A previous song, because he's got so many. And then Eminem was like, dog, I do the same thing.
Yeah, you have to. You have
to. You come up with this brilliant line and you got to make sure you didn't say it already.
Yes. And like every drummer wears an in-ear thing where they play to a tick track.
Yeah.
So they stay in time. Like
I think it's fine. I'm not mad.
It's totally fine.
The Roz and Mocha Show podcast.
The 22 crew members of the Dolly cargo ship that crashed into that bridge in Baltimore could be stuck on board for up to 2 weeks.
What?
As authorities scrambled to clear the wreckage, none of whom were thought to be seriously injured. I thought they would have got them off immediately.
Is it just too dangerous for them to get
They're still on there.
Yeah, but why?
Because they want to try and move some of the steel around the...
It's a big boat. Can they walk to the other
ship?
Side? Like, well, I'm not an engineer.
Like, where it is, like you could jump off and swim to shore if you wanted to. It's not that far.
Bridge collapse, bro. But, like you can land on a steel beam.
No. I'm just saying it's not far. Like it's not like they're in the middle of somewhere and like it's a rescue mission that is impossible. It's just they're there. But they're like, we were prepared to be on this thing for months.
We have
all the stuff we need. Like it's fine. But that port in Baltimore, which is only the 14th largest in the U.S., but here is what is disrupted because of this. Uh-oh. So in 2023, 52.3 million tons of foreign cargo worth $80.8 billion passed through that one port.
Holy.
850,000 cars and trucks went through that port last year. Uh-huh. A majority Mazda, Subaru, Mercedes-Benz. Coal made up the most of the shipments with over 13.2 million tons exported in 2022. Over 106,000 tons of furniture, 738 tons of newsprint, and 36,000 tons of alcoholic beverages go through that port. So that's the disruption of one of these ports. And it's only the 14th largest in the U.S. And last year they did $80.8 billion worth of stuff. So I don't know where all that stuff's going. They got to get it to other ports.
Yeah.
But some of it was just destined for Baltimore. So once it gets to that other port, like in Washington or New Jersey or wherever, it's got to get back to Baltimore.
Did they say what stuff was on that particular boat?
Everything.
All
sorts of stuff. Yeah.
Damn, man.
Yeah, a lot of cars.
Hey, I saw in the news, So I saw a bunch of news stories yesterday, different news outlets, right?
Yeah.
Doing interviews with like local engineers about bridge safety.
Sure.
And the statuses of certain bridges in certain cities and towns.
Sure.
Yeah, right?
Yeah.
And they're going through like structural. And I'm looking at these stories. I'm like, I know you have to do a story about a bridge, right? Yeah. I get it. Yeah. Fully topical. But that's not what this the bridge didn't fail. A boat hit this bridge.
Yeah, shouldn't have collapsed that easily. I'm sorry.
Says who?
I saw the same news story, and that was more about if.
Who?
No, me. That, I don't know. I don't have any news stats to cover this. I'm just saying, like, why should a bridge collapse that easily? Well, like, it folded
you did not see the size of that boat?
Yeah, but
how heavy it was?
Then that one part of the bridge should have collapsed. How did it all go down? Well, like, it needs more support beams.
Well, that's engineering of a bridge, right?
Huh. Like, well, against some new engineers.
Wow. Yeah. Yo, Maria, they're going to love you on Reddit.
If we kept Maria talking right now, do you know what she would invent? A road.
Why can't it be safer? Why can't it be safer and lower to the ground? And like, can't you just put something just directly over the water, like a lot of it over the water?
Like gravel and then tar.
But like a laneway, barriers in the water for all I care. You know
but
what I mean?
Ships have to go under the bridge.
Yeah, make a laneway. They got to go through certain places instead of into the pool.
Okay. All
right. Got the answers. I love it.
The Roz and Mocha Show podcast.
Beyonce dropped her track list for Cowboy Carter.
And this is all country, right?
Yeah. So she, both Willie Nelson and Dolly Parton are named on the track list. It's unclear whether either of them will be featured alongside. But we do know that that Beyonce did a cover of Dolly's Jolene. Do you remember? Do you know Jolene at all? This is the Dolly Jolene, version of Jolene. Say song.
Yeah, big time.
Jolene,
Beyonce's gonna kill this one. Now, when she credits Dolly Parton and Willie Nelson, do you guys think that they're actually singing with Beyonce? Like they're singing, or is she just like sampling their voices in the song and still showing love, giving credit because they're such legends?
I think Dolly shows up on the song.
You think so?
Yeah, 100%.
Yeah.
Yeah, I don't know about Willie. I don't know if Willie can, but yeah.
No, I think she samples Willie Nelson. Credits him, of course, because King. And I think I am with you, Shem. I think Dolly sings this with Beyonce.
Yeah. Dolly wasn't shy about the fact she said a while ago that she blew it. Like she said that Beyonce covers Jolene.
Yeah.
Like Dolly just said in an interview like a couple weeks ago that she covers Jolene. So I don't know. But you know, why, if you had the opportunity to have Dolly on your album, I think that you do it. Like I don't think you I don't think you turn that down.
I think for Beyonce, if she doesn't have Dolly on the album, especially on that record, it will be treated as disrespect. Even though I don't think it's necessarily disrespect.
I
don't think it's disrespect, but I think some might take it that way.
I think, you know, like we've seen before with Dolly Parton, though, like she really leads the charge on not allowing people to be pissed off on her behalf.
Yeah.
Like, remember when that girl showed up drunk
at
L. King?
And then Dolly was like, listen, who cares? She was just a little drunk, right? Like, leave the girl alone, because everybody was like, it's so disrespectful. It's so, how dare you? And Dolly was like, guys, like, she just has a little,
I don't think
she's
Dolly,
a young girl, a little bit to drink, who cares?
I don't think she likes being put on the pedestal that everyone puts her on.
Yes.
Which she deserves, of course. She deserves everything. Yes. All the accolade, right?
Realistically, Dolly does what Beyonce and Taylor Swift and Ariana Grande and everybody else does, which is they should shut down their own fans.
Mm. Yeah.
Right? Dolly does that. You know, none of the other stars do, right? The other stars just let their fans go at people, where Dolly just shuts it straight down.
Yeah.
Right. What was I going to say? Yesterday, Mariah Carey's birthday, did you have any special sort of dinner or anything like that?
Did we have a special dinner? We danced a lot, but Matthew's not home in time for dinner.
Oh, okay. Thank God, huh? Is he back at work now? Like back in the office, huh?
Yes.
Oh.
Wait, so when did you dance? When he got home? So no,
We danced. So, okay, he got home after all the stuff I did. He went into the bedroom. He said, do not follow me. But then I started playing Mariah Carey in the living room, which lured him out of the bedroom.
You're like a snake charmer.
And he slowly started moving his hips.
Yeah.
And then all was okay.
Oh, and then what?
Oh, we danced around and all was okay.
And then what?
Oh, and then I made a coffee and he went to bed.
Oh.
That's what love looks like.
The Roz and Mocha Show podcast.
The Ontario school boards have commenced legal action against TikTok, Meta, and Snapchat for disrupting students' learning and the education system. The TDSB, Peel, Toronto Catholic, the Ottawa Carleton School Board announced a joint lawsuit of $4.5 billion against social media platforms. The lawsuit claims that social media products negligently designed for compulsive use have rewired the way children think, behave, and learn, leaving educators and schools to manage the fallout, saying the influence of social media on today's youth at school cannot be denied. So, there you go.
The Roz and Mocha Show podcast.
Blue Jays today kick off their season. Tampa Bay.
Hashtag to the core.
They're on the road for a real long time until they finish those renovations at Rogers Center. But the game today is 4:10. And all next week, by the way, we will have tickets on this show just after 7 a.m. So check us out for that.
Y'all remember that classic moment from when William Hung showed up at the Toronto Blue Jays game to sing the...
Nobody even knows who William Hung is.
What?
Everybody knows Nobody William
has
Hung.
I don't know who he is.
Nobody has any idea who William Hung is.
From American Idol, the Ricky Martin kid.
Like 20 years ago.
Uh-huh.
I think I do know. Oh. What, how does it go again? What did he sing again?
He sang like, she bangs.
She bangs. Oh, yeah, remember? Yeah. I know that guy.
So... they invited him to sing Take Me Out to the Ball Game at a Jays game one year.
Yes.
Right? Killed it. Just killed
it. Take me out to the ball game. Take me out to the crowd.
And buy what, Willie?
Buy me some peanuts and Cracker Jacks.
What?
I don't care if I never get back. It's time to root. Root for the home team. If they don't win, it's a shame. For it's 1, 2, 3 strikes you out at the old ball game.
Hey, welcome back, baseball. When you're at the concession stand.
Buy me some peanuts and Cracker Jacks.
Okay. For God's sakes.
What?
Man.
Yo, Shem's excited.
Oh, yeah.
you're the worst.
The Roz and Mocha Show podcast.
I don't know. Did you see any of this, the documentary Quiet on the Set about the all the stuff that went down on all those Nickelodeon shows?
No.
With Dan Schneider and
Drake Bell.
And it's really, like, it's heartbreaking. It's shocking.
I can't watch that.
But Kenan Thompson was one of the big stars at the time on Nickelodeon. Mm. And a lot of people sort of forget that. And everybody's been looking for comment from Kenan to find out, you know, what his experiences on Nickelodeon were like with Dan Schneider. And yesterday, Kenan was on Tamron Hall, and here's Kenan Thompson.
I think it's a good thing that the doc is out and it's, you know, putting things, you know, on display that need to be, you know, stories that need to be told for this, you know, accountability's sake. But it's definitely tough to watch because I have fond memories of that place, you know, and I have fond memories of, you know, my co-stars and stuff like that. So to hear that they've gone through terrible things like that is just, it's really tough.
We did reach out to Dan Schneider's team and they directed us to a response that he posted on YouTube. We also reached out, of course, to the production company and they said that, you know, they investigate all of these things. Investigate all of the allegations.
Well, investigate more.
Hey.
I mean, because it's like, you know, it's supposed to be a safe space, you know, it's supposed to be a safe place for kids. And like, to hear all about that is just like, how dare you?
The Roz and Mocha Show podcast.
Elon Musk has announced that some X users will now get access to X premium features without having to pay for them.
Ooh, how do they get
so them? It is applied to accounts that are eligible by meeting certain minimum thresholds. You will either get premium or premium plus features. Mm-hmm. Which is the sort of highest tier on Twitter, including access to things like less restrictive AI, Grok, their chatbot, and a lack of advertisement. So moving forward, Elon Musk says all X accounts with over 2,500 verified subscribers will get premium features for free, and all accounts with over 5,000 verified subscribers will get premium plus for free.
Oh, all right.
So there you go. You going to go back on Twitter or no?
Probably not.
No?
Mm-mm. You?
I mean, I use it, but I just use it
for, like, to see what's trending.
I use it
stuff.
As a search engine, basically, right? Pretty much. But it's crazy now, Twitter. You scroll, like, you hit one article, and you got to scroll for 9 days
Oh my God.
Of OnlyFans advertisements before you actually start getting to comments on something.
You scroll through that, huh?
I mean, listen, I mean, it's awesome, right?
The stutter, like, it's the stutter.
Oh, yeah. Oh, come on, man.
Thanks for listening to the Roz and Mocha Show podcast.
Catch the guys live
weekday mornings from 6 to 10
on Kiss 92.5.
Kiss925.com.
Or download the Kiss 92.5 app.